We're looking at the question again today, how do we know that the books of the Bible are the books that actually belong there? And we're looking in this particular lesson at the New Testament. How do we know that the books of the New Testament are exactly the ones that ought to be there? Are there lost books of the New Testament? Are there lost books of the Bible? How do we know, and how can we be sure? Well, we've looked at several interesting things thus far in this series, and today we want to look at a few more facts from history and from the Bible about the formation of what we call the canon of Scripture. Now, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to read with you verses 1 and 2, and I wanted to make this point as we began today talking about the difference between an inspired book, an inspired writing, and an uninspired writing of man, and how that these people could know the difference, and we can know the difference today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, the reason Paul is writing this is to assure these Thessalonian brethren that the coming of Christ was not around the corner. It was not near. It was not imminent, like some people were saying in Paul's day. There was an idea going around then, and it's very similar to the ideas that we hear today. That idea was that Jesus was coming in their generation. Now, of course, Jesus could come in our generation. We don't know when he's coming. But Paul did specifically write here to these people and tell them that Jesus was not coming anytime soon because something big had to happen first. And that's what the book is about here when you get to chapter 2. But I want you to notice what he says in chapter 2, verse 2 about this. He says, "I don't want you to be shaken in mind or troubled. I don't want anybody to shake you. Don't let any of these people out here who are talking about this bother you and scare you about this." He said, "Don't let them do that by spirit, by word, or by letter as from us." Now, the word spirit here refers to an individual contact with a person. In other words, where they would actually meet somebody, and that person would be teaching the idea that Jesus was coming in their lifetime. The word spirit in the Bible is sometimes used, especially in the New Testament, to refer to a teacher. That's why the Bible says, "Believe not every spirit." 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. This is not talking about some disembodied spirit that's just floating around. This is an actual person. So Paul says, if you hear in person somebody teaching this, or, he said, by word, if this idea reaches you by word of mouth, that is. So some people were saying this, some people were teaching this doctrine, and then others would hear it and they would spread it. So Paul says, if you hear this going around, if you hear by word of mouth that Jesus is coming in your generation, don't believe it. And then he says, even if you see a letter as from us, as if that letter is from us. So Paul at least shows that it was possible that there were some that were trying to forge letters in his name, or that there were actually letters circulating around that claimed to have been from Paul. So Paul says, if you see that, then don't believe it. Now here's the bottom line to this, and here's where this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, connects with what we're talking about. These people were able to know the difference between a true teacher of God and a false teacher, and they were also able to know the difference between a true inspired letter and a forgery or an uninspired letter that is trying to be passed off as an inspired book of God. They were able to see the difference. They knew the difference. So there were writings in Paul's day that were not right. There were epistles, there were letters, there were books or booklets that were being circulated. And the Apostle Paul says, look, these are not inspired. ours are inspired. They have the marks of inspiration, and they are written by inspired men. You see, in that context, in that first century setting, you had these inspired apostles and other inspired men. You had prophets also in the church who were known to be apostles and prophets. They were known to be inspired men because of the miracles that were done. And so these people knew that Paul was inspired. That means they also knew that these other people out here were not inspired. So I'm simply saying this. The people in the first century could know and did know the difference between an inspired book and an uninspired book. Now think of it in this way. There were people going around in the first century saying that they were Christ. So we have the true Christ and we have the false Christ. Could people know the difference? Yes, they could. They could know the difference between the true, real Christ and false, pretending Christ. Think of it also in this way. The Bible says that there were false apostles in the first century. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Paul said that they were false apostles. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul talked about the signs of an apostle, that is, the signs of a true apostle, and that refers to the miracles that the apostles were able to do. So people could know the difference between a true apostle and a false or fake apostle. So if they could know the difference between the true Christ and false Christ, if they could know the difference between a true apostle and false apostles, then they could know the difference between a truly inspired letter or book and an uninspired letter. And so these people had knowledge of which books were inspired and which books were not. Now let's tie in with this what we learned about the completion of the Old Testament books. The Jews in the 400-year period between the Old Testament and the New Testament knew that they didn't have any prophets anymore. They knew that Old Testament books were no longer being written. They knew that they didn't have anybody capable of writing Scripture anymore because the time of the prophets had ceased. They knew as long as they had the prophets that they had people who were inspired by God and able to write Scripture. But they realized that there came a point in time in their history where there were no more prophets. And that's what we call that 400-year period, that intertestamental period. Well, what I'm saying is that this is exactly what we have in the case of the apostles and other inspired men in the first century. There came a time when there were no more apostles and prophets. There came a time when there were no more miracles and no more inspired men and thus no more inspired writings. So just as you had that with the completion of the Old Testament, you have that with the completion of the New Testament. And so what happens is, in the generations that follow the death of the apostles and the prophets, you have different writers talking about what John wrote and what Paul wrote and what other New Testament writers said. They quote them. They refer to them. Now this shows that they realized that although there were all kinds of religious writings out there, there were all kinds of books being circulated, they realized that there were only some. There was a limited number of books that were considered to be Scripture and known to be Scripture. So this is something that we find early on. For instance, there was one man in about the year 140 AD. Now, he actually got started with the things that we're going to talk about earlier than that. But it was about this time that he came up with a list of books that he said belonged in the Bible. And what we find him talking about is this. This man's name was Marcion. Now, he was supposedly a Christian, but he came up with some heretical ideas. He came up with some ideas contrary to the Bible. This man, Marcion, now remember, we're talking about the first half of the second century. We're talking about a generation or two after the death of the apostles. This man, Marcion, came up with the idea that the God of the Old Testament must be a different God than the God of the New Testament. He read his Old Testament and he said that the God of the Old Testament appears to be a God of wrath, that he appears to be a God of vengeance because he's always striking people dead. And he said in the New Testament, God appears to be a God of mercy and a God of love. So he said, I don't believe that Old Testament picture of God. So he said, I don't believe that those Old Testament books were inspired of God. But you know what happened when he did that? He confirmed that the Old Testament books were there, that they had been given, and that they were accepted by the Jews in his time. But not only that. He also said that he didn't believe in these books of the New Testament except for the writings of Paul and some of the writings of Luke. So in other words, Marcion was saying, well, I don't believe what Peter wrote and what Matthew wrote and what John wrote. He didn't like the book of Revelation and so forth. And so this man Marcion said, I don't believe those books. I just believe that Paul's writings and some of the writings of Luke are actually from God. Now you say, how does that have anything to do with what we're talking about? How does that relate to the question of which books belong in the Bible? Well, it's this. This man Marcion was attacking these books of the Bible. He was attacking these other books of the New Testament. Here's the point. If those books are not as old as what we believe them to be, if the writings of John were not written by John, actually, and they were not accepted by the Christians of that time and earlier, then how could Marcion mention them? How could he say, I don't believe in them? You see, what we find is that even though this man Marcion, in the first half of the second century, not too many years after the apostles died, what we find is that he is opposing these books. How could he do that unless they were accepted by Christians in those days, and unless they actually existed and were recognized as inspired books by the majority of people? So when you hear people say something like this, that the books of the New Testament were not actually recognized until hundreds of years later, and that people in those days really didn't know which books were inspired and which books were not inspired, folks, that is not true. And these people that we've referred to, called church fathers oftentimes, quoted freely from these writings. They talked about them often. And so we have all of these early writers, not too many years after the apostles died, talking about the writings of Paul and Peter and John and these other writers. And they recognize them as inspired men. So the whole idea that they are lost books of the Bible is just not true. The idea that they are lost books of the Bible actually impugns God, because it says that God gave some books that we need, and somehow he allowed them to be lost. He allowed them to be hidden from us, even though we needed them to be saved. That is a reflection on the character of God. Because if God has all power, and God loves us and wants us to be saved, then he is certainly going to make sure that we have access to the writings, the scriptures, which give us the knowledge of eternal salvation. Yes, the books of the Bible that you have in the scriptures, those 66 books, are the very ones that belong there, and we need to spend as much time as possible reading them, believing them, and obeying them in our lives.